Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we're going to get straight into the word this morning. We're doing things a little bit differently to normal. It is our miracle offering weekend, and that's very much our focus today. And we'll take up that a little bit later. But I want to share with you, firstly, something that John Maxwell once said, the great leadership author. He said, growth is the great separator between those who succeed and those who do not. When I see a person beginning to separate themselves from the pack, it's almost always due to personal growth. I want to do the second half of the message we started last weekend on the need for growth and expansion. The need for growth and expansion. You know, a guy that's been in the news over the last few weeks, you might have heard his name, Eliud Kipchoge. He's a Kenyan middle distance or long distance runner. And he recently accomplished something quite remarkable. And if you haven't seen it yet, I want to show you this quick clip. Let's have a look.
Kenyan marathon runner has made history, becoming the first athlete to run a marathon in just under 2 hours.
Phenomenal this. The 34-year-old sprinted across the finish line in Vienna with just 20 seconds to spare.
He knows he's done it. Look at him. He's picking up people in the crowd. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. You are witnessing history. He is coming right past us now.
Nobody had ever run a marathon in under 2 hours. This was the moment Eliud Kipchoge powered his way into the history books and straight into the arms of his wife, Grace. It was one of the greatest runs of all time.
Oliver Tualu came here today, watched me on YouTube, in Facebook, and following Twitter, those who watched live in their televisions. Together we have made history.
The Kenyan superstar had enlisted the fastest marathon runners on earth as pacemakers to help his quest for sporting immortality. And he told them beforehand to picture Neil Armstrong walking on the moon.
As Elliot said, like, you know, we need to be able to go to the moon and come back. And that is his quote. And I think today we went to the moon and we came back. And so we'll be able to come and celebrate.
Thousands of people lined the streets of this park in Vienna to cheer him on. Kipchoge says people power helped keep him going. Among those out supporting him, the four-time Tour de France winner Chris Froome, who'd only come off crutches this past week after a terrible crash before this year's race.
I've just been blown away watching him here, and he's just gliding along. It barely looks as if he's even breathing. Just incredible. Incredible athlete, incredible human being.
Eliud Kipchoge has always lived by his mantra that no human is limited. Quite where he goes from here is anyone's guess.
Is that amazing? I don't know if you realize how fast that is. 42 kilometers in under 2 hours. I'd probably get close, but no, I don't think so. But you know what's amazing about Eliud Kipchoge? He's already 34 years old. He's already the marathon world record holder. He's the world champion. At his age, most runners are kind of, you know, starting to go into the latter years of their life. But he's been committed to keep pushing himself, to keep growing so that he can release his full potential. And he broke a barrier that people have, up to now, have thought was impossible. No one ever thought that someone would run 42 kilometers in under 2 hours. He's broken barriers thought to be impossible. And you know, when I was watching that, I just had a sense that's what God is calling us to as a church in our nation, and certainly as a campus in our city of Durban here, to begin to break new barriers, to begin to accomplish things that perhaps people at once thought was impossible, to not settle, to not take for granted what we have, but to make a decision to keep growing and keep enlarging ourselves so that the full potential of our church can be released. I want to speak to you this morning on some of the requirements for a growing church. And as we said last week, you know, for any area of life to keep growing, there has to be a decision that is made to make sure that we are continually committed to growth. If in your business, for those of you business people, for your business to release its full potential, You have to make sure that you are committed to keep growing. For any relationship to release its full potential, both parties have to commit to keep growing. The same is true in your walk with God. For you to become all that God has destined you to be, you have to make a decision to keep growing in your relationship with God. And the church is no different. Any church around the world, for it to release its full potential, there has to be a decision, firstly from the leadership, but from the congregation as a whole, that we need to keep growing and expanding. So let me give you a few thoughts to encourage you in this area today. Some of the requirements for a growing church. The first one is simply this. It requires God's vision for His church. It requires God's vision for His church. You know, every great and successful organization will always have a vision that is established by its leaders. If you look at some of the great businesses and companies around the world, or some of the great schools and universities, they all have a vision set by the leader. And the reason they have a vision is because the vision sets the course and the direction for the organization to follow. It also gives clarity to the objective. It brings focus to what everyone is doing. But I think more than anything, it unites the people associated to it behind one purpose and one cause. And the church is no different. You know, our church, Rivers Church, across our five campuses, we have a very clear vision that has been set out by our senior pastors, Pastor Andre and Vilma. But the church as a whole, the greater church across the globe, also has a very clear vision that has been set by its leader. That leader is no man, he is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who has set and established the vision for His church. And if you're ever wondering, well, what is the Lord's vision for His church? We find it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where Jesus speaks and He says, I will build my church. Notice that He will build His church. He says, I will build my church and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. We realize here that Jesus came to establish His church on earth. He came to build His church. He came to grow His church. And the reason He did that, His vision is very clear, is so that as the church on this earth, we will resist evil through continual growth and expansion, and thereby take territory that the devil intends to take for himself on this earth. And that's why at Rivers Church, we are continually committed to growth and expansion. We are continually committed to building the church. Why? Because when we do so, we become part of what God is doing on this planet. We align our vision with His vision by building the church through taking territory and advancing the cause of Christ. And, you know, that's why a weekend like Miracle Offering Weekend is such a significant weekend, because what it does, it puts resources and finances into our hands so that we can do what we need to do. We can purchase the property we need for that new building, and we can ensure that we continue to further the work of Jesus on this earth. A man by the name of Joel Barker was a business author who once said that vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. The vision of Jesus with the action of the church is what changes the world. And that's really the church's role in the world, is to change the world. The government's not going to change the world. The church has to change the world. And then the role of each local church in turn is to change its community and to change its city. But no change can occur if there is no commitment to growth and expansion. You know, just this week we came across a few old pictures of our campus here in Durban North from back in the day. And that was one we found there. That was a pumping Sunday morning in church. That was when we had one small service. Some of the faces there, there's Brad, our bass player there. He wasn't taking notes that morning. I don't know where Brad is, but been here for many, many years. Some of those other faces you recognize. This was the coffee shop there, long before it was a coffee shop. We called it the Minor Hall because that's really what it was. Pretty ugly. Then we got Kids Church. This was Kids Church. That was all of Kids Church. That was it. We used to run Kids Church behind where you're sitting on the balcony there. And there was old wooden floorboards. And whenever the kids would run and move, everyone in church all the few people would look at the back and you'd hear all the noise there. And we got another one, I think. Is there another picture? Oh, that was just me there. That was me back in the day. That's before I had any gray hair. And that was even in the days before skinny jeans came into being. It was 12 years ago. But, I mean, you know, I look back at those pictures and I think, wow, we've come such a long way in such a short time. And we're grateful for that. But the reason we've done that is because we simply aligned our hearts with the vision of Jesus to build His church, and that's what we will continue to do for the next 12 years and every other year beyond that as well. Can you say amen to that? Here's another requirement for a growing church. It requires the person of Jesus, the teaching of the Word, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know it's a long point to write down, but a growing church requires the person of Jesus, the teaching of the Word, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. These three are fundamental to the life, the health, and the growth of any church. Let me just say, they are also fundamental to the life, the health, and the growth of every believer. You try to live your life apart from the person of Jesus. You try to build your life apart from His Word. You try to make decisions apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find that life is very, very difficult to navigate. And we read in a moment in Acts chapter 2, we see that the early church was birthed on exactly these three things. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. This was while he was preaching. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Notice all three present there. There's the person of Jesus Christ, who's the cornerstone of the church. There's the leading of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Word. And because those three were present and evident, the very next verse says that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Church was established, it is grown, and it'll continue to grow on the person of Jesus, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the teaching of the Word. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thought, and I hope this one gets an amen. One of the requirements for a growing church is a heart for the lost. A heart for the lost. Church is not just a social gathering. Yes, we gather socially, but that's not the reason we're here. Church is not just there for good coffee. I'm grateful we have good coffee, but that's not the purpose for which the church exists. The church is there because it has a heart for the lost, a desire to see people saved, a longing to see people know Jesus and surrender fully to Him. And I really pray that that is a desire of your heart. It's the reason why we do what we do at church here. Every week we do church. We do it as best we can to see people saved. That's why we build great facilities. That's why we keep growing and enlarging. That's why we do an altar call at the end of every service. Why? Because in every service there are people who came to give their hearts to Jesus. That's the reason why we exist as the church. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus, speaking of Himself, says that the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. You know, earlier we saw Jesus' vision for His church. Here we see God's heart for His church. And the reason He came to establish and grow His church is to see lost people come to know Jesus as Lord. And, you know, in many ways, the church is like an ambulance or a hospital. If you think what ambulances do, they go out and they rescue dying people so that they can live. That's what hospitals exist for. They go there, they're there to accommodate sick people who are about to die so that they can be made whole. And that really is the purpose of the church. We are here to rescue people who are dying spiritually. That is Jesus' vision and mandate for His church. You know, just this week, I read an article about a guy whose name was Spendi Ruzatovsky. He lived in Wisconsin in the United States. 46-year-old man who had a heart attack, and he went to hospital to be treated. They checked him out. They recognized that he'd had a heart attack, But they said to him, unfortunately, we don't have any more space in the hospital. All the hospital beds are taken. You need to go home and try again tomorrow or the day after and see if there's space. They sent him home. Well, unfortunately, his condition was quite bad. Later that evening, he had another heart attack and he ended up dying simply because the hospital wasn't able to accommodate him. You know, if I look at our church here, we are growing supernaturally. I mean, you just have a look around you. There's not much more space left in this service. We're thankful for that. We're grateful for that. But that's why we need another building. We need a bigger facility. The idea of building a new 2,000-seater auditorium is not just a good idea. It is essential. Because otherwise, the day will come where we have to say, sorry, there ain't no more space. All the seats are taken. No more space. Please come back next week or the week after. People will die spiritually. We desperately need a new facility. And that's why this weekend is so significant as we focus on the future of our campus. Reinhard Bonnke is a guy many of you might have heard of. He's the great German evangelist who preached to millions of people across Africa. And he once put it so profoundly as to the church's role when he said that the church is a lifeboat, not a pleasure boat. Entertainers are neither needed nor wanted. From the captain to the cook, all hands are needed on deck for soul saving. The church that does not seek the lost is lost itself. And therein is the need for us to keep growing and expanding as a church so that we never lose that heart for seeing lost people come to know Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you another one, and I hope this one's going to get the loudest cheer of the day. Requirements for a growing church. It requires finances to be willingly released. Some of you thought, I'm not going to cheer for that one. I saw you. Finances to be willingly released. I think one of the greatest challenges for many churches and maybe one of the biggest frustrations for a lot of pastors and church leaders is that they never have enough resources to fulfill the vision that God has laid on the heart of their church. And you know, I think it's fair to say that most churches, and in fact any growing church, will always have more vision than resources available. But I do believe that where God gives the vision, He always makes for the provision to be available. But something else I also believe is that when the provision is not available, it's not because it isn't in the house. I believe the resources are always in the house of any church. I think the challenge is that the resources are not always willingly released. And I think simply the reason for that is most people in life prefer to play safe rather than step out and say, I'm in, but I want to be all in. It's easier to do what is convenient rather than release what God is asking. And I do believe that God is always stretching our faith and He's always calling us to release more for the expansion of His church. There's that great quote by John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church movement, who once said that the last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. Isn't that true, eh? Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, but I'm still going to hold on to my wallet in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I want to read you from Exodus 35. There's a great story in the Old Testament of finances that were released specifically for a building project. And it was for the tabernacle to be built. The tabernacle is the first picture in the Old Testament of the church. And we read in Exodus 35 verse 4 that Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord." Never forget, giving is a spiritual transaction. It is something sacred to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of His rituals and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. Is it not there? Is it not there? All whose hearts were willing. Everyone say willing. It should be there. Why were their hearts willing? It was not because they had piles of cash stored up at home. No, no, they had simply aligned their vision with God's vision. Their heart was aligned with His heart. They understood the importance and the power of their contribution. It says, verse 29, so the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. You know, it's always wonderful when God's people give freely according to the need of the local church. And it's amazing when you give with a spirit like that, how it actually frees you up as well. There's nothing worse than money being your boss. It's always far better and far more liberating to do what the Lord has asked, to give generously and sacrificially. It does something for us on the inside. You know, it was on Friday that we gave our miracle offering for this year. I couldn't wait for Sunday, so we gave it on Friday already. And this year, we stepped into territory that we haven't done before. I never thought that I'd be able to give what I gave this miracle offering. But you know what? I just felt the Lord saying to me, I don't want you to just be in. I want you to be all in. And so rather than taking a step forward, we've taken a leap forward. But I've already long decided my heart is aligned with God's heart. I'm not going to ask of you what I don't model for you first. And so we've taken a massive step of faith, and I'm privileged to say that I'm playing my part in what God is doing through this local church. William Arthur Ward, the famous American writer, once said that giving is more than an act of obedience. It is evidence of faith. You know, an unwillingness to release what the Lord asks is never due to a lack of finances or resources. It is always due to a lack of faith. The reality is, I think all of us have more than we realize. Sometimes we're so busy looking at what we don't have rather than looking at what we do have. And when we realize what we do have, we realize we have more than we thought we have. So the real question is simply, are we willing to release that which God is asking of us? Can you say amen? Let me give you one more thought this morning. Another requirement of a growing church is the participation of everyone. The participation of everyone. You know, we often say that church is never built on the gifts and talents of a few people. It's always been built on the sacrifices of many. And I'm grateful for our church. I'm grateful for our campus that we have generous people, people with hearts aligned with God's hearts. People who understand the importance and the power of living generously and participating when it's needed. You know, in 1 Chronicles, we read another story here of a building project that was financed and resourced through the participation of everyone. It was at the building of the temple. And the temple was really the upgrade of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a temporary structure, but the temple was the permanent structure where God said, my presence would dwell there. We read in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1 that King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God Himself. Let me just say, firstly, the work that God has called us to is enormous. And as long as we keep wanting to be a church that is growing and reaching out, the work ahead of us will always be enormous. And we're grateful to God for that. But secondly, also good to acknowledge that that new building that we will build here in Durban North is not, it's not so that I can put on my CV, built a 2,000-seater building. Tick that. It's not so Pastor Andre can go around the world and saying, ooh, look what we did in Durban. No, no. That building, as the Bible says, is for the Lord God Himself. That building is for this community. But it is ultimately to bring glory to God. Because I think for too long, people have driven past churches in our communities. And when they drive past, they go, shame. Isn't that true? Oh, shame. No, no, the community needs to drive past that building and go, wow, is that a church? Something must be happening in that place. May God be glorified through what we do. Amen. It goes on to say, verse 2, David says, using every resource at my command, I've gathered as much as I could for the building of the temple of my God. David understood that in order to accomplish this enormous work, the resource of everyone was required. It needed participation from all the people. Then verse 3, he says, and now because of my devotion, everyone say devotion. Because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. David had a heart for God. When you are devoted to the Lord and to the things of God, then it's easy to release that which God asks of you. If you are not fully devoted, it's always going to be a little bit more difficult. David was fully devoted. He says, now then, who will follow my example today and give offerings to the Lord? Then verse 6 says, then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals, the captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. I love the fact there that everyone participated. You know, just thinking back to that clip we saw earlier of the Kenyan runner, I love the fact that when he spoke afterwards, he didn't take all the credit for it. He recognized everyone who participated to help him accomplish what many thought was impossible. He got some of the best pacemakers in the world, the best marathon runners. He acknowledged the crowd. He acknowledged all the support from those watching him. Everyone together participated to make that which seemed to be impossible, possible. And then verse 9, it says, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. I love the fact that the king celebrates as a result of the participation of everyone. Now, obviously, we don't serve an earthly king, we serve a heavenly king. But I believe on weekends like these, and whenever God's people sacrifice for the cause of Christ, I believe our King in heaven celebrates as well. Because the church advances, it takes territory, and the kingdom of God can continue to move forward. I want to finish with a great quote by Charles Spurgeon. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. He says, in all my years of service to the Lord, I have discovered a truth that has never failed and has never been compromised. That truth is that it is beyond the realm of possibilities that one has the ability to outgive God. Even if I give the whole of my worth to Him, He will find a way to give back to me more than I gave. Be encouraged by that. You know, I look at all the years that we've been serving God and have been faithful in our giving. We have not yet been able to outgive God. The more we sacrifice for Him, the more He blesses us. Many, many of you can testify to the goodness of God and the provision of God as well. You and I cannot outgive God. When we sacrifice for Him, it builds His church, but He finds a way to build back into our lives bigger and better than that which we were willing to lay down for Him. And as a result, we can give with faith and we can give with expectancy. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.